The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen, the actual Scarlet Cougar today.
Oh, me, yes. And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover. It's a little in-joke. I had a little run-in with a medication today, and I'm a little Scarlet. So we're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. So what are we talking about tonight, Jeff?
We're talking about Anything for You. And this episode was written by Denise Thee, I guess how you say your last name.
I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's done work writing for Person of Interest, Cold Case, and Medium. And it was directed by T.J. Scott, who he's actually directing an episode of the new miniseries The Mist. He's done work on The Strain and done several episodes of Longmire. So
awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Some good work behind this. And T.J. Mm-hmm. Scott, much easier to pronounce.
Yeah.
Very nice. And Anything for You. Wow. Was that the theme of this episode or what?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I love talking about it in the blog post because you see what lengths the different characters were willing to go to for other people and how far that took them. And, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And there were also a few little things, even Bruce going to some lengths for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And his not backfiring, which was very cool, yeah. He actually got a little something out of his deal, didn't he?
Definitely.
But in a very classic Catwoman-Batman dynamic as well. Mm-hmm. So that was also very, very cool.
Yeah.
And we also saw a little run-in between Ivy and Catwoman as well, even though Selina didn't realize it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a brush. Even Bruce was there around Ivy. And
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see that power dynamic once Selina gets a clue on who she mm-hmm. Ivy actually is. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ivy saying, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there is definitely going to be an issue there. And we saw it set up earlier when Selina wouldn't allow Ivy to come with her, saying that she was just a kid. And mm-hmm. of course, now the tables have turned.
Yeah, I was about to say the power dynamic has shifted, and mm-hmm. Ivy knows it and is looking forward to kind of exploiting that.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. from what we saw at the bar, she's exploiting other things as well. Getting yes, some free indeed. Drinks. Okay, so we're going to talk about the episode, but first, let's give our ratings.
Okay. I gave it 8 Rent-A-Red Hoods.
Very nice. Yeah, those weren't exactly the same Red Hoods as before, but they were definitely good enough to fool everyone into thinking they were the original Red Hoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I give it 8 creepy written in blood place cards.
Uh-huh. That's not a tea party I want to attend.
No.
I don't think Alice 2.0 did either.
No, I don't want to be invited. I don't want to know about it. Nothing. Of course, we do know about it, though. So, shudder. That was the creepiest scene at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Or it could be the reaction still. Who knows? Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the discussion. I have some very lame titles You and I did a little brainstorming because I was late. I have the A story is, and it's a tribute to the Looney Tunes, Little Red Riding Hood cartoon. And I hope I don't blow people's ears out, but I'll do it in the voice. What big teeth you got? And then, of course, the wolf going, yeah, 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 big teeth, big teeth. It's the Little Red Riding Hood from Looney Tunes. And then my B story is the thing about Barnes is, and that's my, you know, my nod to him being the thing, being tough. Yeah. And then the C stories would be the Lonely Hearts Club, and that's a reference to Bruce and also James.
Mm-hmm.
And T for two, the aforementioned tea party.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Gross. Yeah. So, my what big teeth you got?
Yeah, it was an interesting storyline. We saw last week how Butch was upset. And so, he's going to do what he knows best. He's going to try to get back in Penguin's grace by protecting him from this group that's defaming his name, and this group is that we see at the beginning of the episode all these good things that Mayor Cobblepot is doing. He's going to the soup kitchen. He's donating a bus to this orphanage, and all these things that he's doing to spend this good PR, and then this Red Hood gang is coming along, and they're blowing up the bus, and they're telling everybody, this is a Penguin's fault. This is a Penguin's fault. Mm-hmm. And so Butch is doing that so that he can come in and look like the hero. He's going to rescue the boss and get back into his good graces. But, we kind of find out that he's really the one behind it. And the Red Hoods are, they're ready to do more. They're ready to actually, they're not in on things. They're ready actually to off the Penguin. And
right.
But Ed is still steps and steps ahead. He's analyzing data. He's looking at things, and he figures out really quickly that there's something wrong with the scene of the killing of the Red Hoods.
Of course.
And what's going on? And so he kind of figures that out, and gets it traced back to Butch. I mean, I just loved how on top of things Ed was, and it was so surprising the kind of the vice that he put Butch in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
And the double cross there.
Oh gosh.
Now, I do have to ask you, were you shocked at all that it was Butch behind everything?
No.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
Me either.
No.
They set it up pretty easily that it was Butch.
Yeah, that wasn't surprising. What I was pleasantly surprised at how far and how many circles that, Ed had gone in to ensure that Penguin was going to be safe and that Butch was going to get exposed, and he had plans and backups. And I love that. I love just the scheming and just how he was on top of things. Mm-hmm. He was just at the top of his game kind of all around today in this episode.
And so, it was a huge relief to me. And I wasn't thinking that Ed would betray him, but there was that little tiny bit of doubt in my mind, just a tiny bit, that thought, okay, is he gonna do something? I mean, not that I thought he was gonna throw in with Butch, but that he was gonna take over.
Exactly. And I'm like, are they gonna move it that far, that fast?
Right.
Because he's gonna, kind of one up and try to be in charge now.
Right. But he didn't, which was very refreshing, is that he is all in with Oswald. He and Oswald are true friends at this point.
Right.
Which I love. It's so great.
I love the dynamic between the two of them, because he is not doing things in a way that belittles Penguin.
Right.
He is doing things so that Penguin still has power. He knows the importance of his position as mayor, but he also has that respect for him as a friend. So he's doing things in a way that doesn't tear him down, because they have so much in common after being in Arkham, and they kind of see eye to eye. So he's not doing it as a power play. So he's running all these things. And I think he is genuinely surprised there at the end of how, you know, indebted and how grateful that Penguin feels for him. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I just really like the dynamic of those two actors working together and the dynamic of the two characters that we're seeing on screen, of seeing this, you know, buddy villains that you kind of feel happy for cheering for. But
Yeah, I loved it. And it made me feel good, especially when at the beginning he was talking to Ed and he says, now all I need is someone to share it with. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, yeah, it might not be a romantic sharing with, but mm-hmm. he does have that person. He does right. have a soulmate, in a sense, to share mm-hmm. it with. I can't see him falling in love right now, but he definitely has that person that he can turn to in a pinch right now, and that is Ed.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Grey's Anatomy at all, but mm-hmm. Meredith and I can't remember her name. Meredith and her best friend, they called each other their one.
Yeah.
So I've
seen some Tumblr posts.
Okay. So they're each other's one.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of their dynamic, you know.
Right.
They've got each other's back at this point. Now, I'm not saying that's not going to change. It will, because they're villains, you know. They're
right.
they're ultimately in it for themselves, and at some point that selfishness will most likely rear its ugly head. But as of right now, they're both doing things for each other. And it's because they're friends, and I really, really like it. And whatever wacky hijinks ensue because of it, it's very entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that Butch got away at the end of that episode, I wasn't happy about that at all.
Well, so that brings up the whole fact that Tabitha realizes what's going on. And she says, you know, I'll keep your secret, but you're going to owe me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still has feelings for her.
Right. Of course.
And she's looking for power, and you know, that feeling's not mutual, but he does have to choose. Okay. Am I going to choose Penguin, or am I going to choose Tabitha? And he chooses Tabitha.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to betray his boss so that she can be safe. So you see that dynamic of anything for you. So she does realize that she owes him now,
right,
for, you know, sticking up. And so she goes on full on. She's back in her costume. She's got her whip out. She, you know, grabs yep. a cycle and goes
and
full
goes.
Out after to rescue him. And so while I wasn't happy that he got away, I'm just saying, oh, goodness, what's that going to mean to him? Is he going to perceive that as more than what she's doing just to pay him back? He's going to say, oh, there's still feelings there. So that just kind of leads that lead up there. But
right.
yeah, mm.
Yeah, and she doesn't have feelings for him, really.
No, uh-uh.
Never did.
No.
I'm guessing. She was just with him to be with him.
Right, and she realizes where the power dynamic is.
Right, she wore the pants in that mm-hmm. relationship, but he had connections, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hello, using. Mm-hmm. Welcome to using. And right now he has no power, but she owes him.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Barbara now own Sirens.
Mm-hmm.
So she does have a bit of power. Is she going to take Butch back there and hide him? You know, hiding him out in the woods or whatever, that's not going to do any good for her.
Mm-mm.
Is she just going to turn him loose? So,
yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how she takes that, because, you know, I'm sure if she brings him back, then Barbara's going to have a fun time with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of playing, you know, oh, you're bringing him back. You know, yeah, you're
it's going to be a cat with a mouse.
Yeah.
She's going to want to play with him and, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, torture a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so, how she is.
Most definitely. So.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. But again, we have so many other things to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that doesn't take front and center stage, because there's so many other things going on.
Yeah, I think that's going to move. You know, I don't know if they'll even touch on it next episode. They may push it back to the one after that. They're good about bringing some things to the forefront and then mm-hmm, taking them
rotating
back and then bringing them forward. So, right. I, you know, I'm happy with how they're doing that.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things where we're going to see stuff through the season with them and how that's going to play out. So,
yeah, I agree. Do you think we're done with that storyline? I mean, we lost the Red Hood gang already.
Taken out by Butch.
Right. You know, most because definitely. That was his plan all along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had the customs tailored suits for him. And, you know, his plan all along was he was going to go in and take him out in front of everybody in public.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the big hero and do all that. And so they were expendable.
Right. It was a dumb plan because it was easy for Ed to trace everything back to him. I mean, his suits and everything were made at the same place. So, mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Butch just does not realize how smart Ed is. He's one of those guys who Butch gets frustrated and he lets his emotions cloud his judgment.
Right.
And that's dangerous when you're dealing with somebody like Ed, who is already kind of leaps and bounds ahead of you mm-hmm. in that department. So, right. you know, he's...
And Ed doesn't let anything get in the way of his intellect. Nothing.
No. Uh-uh. He's we've seen that. He's not going to... we saw in this episode that he is headed... He headed back to the GCPD. He was playing his power so that he could get in on the case to get the clues.
Mm-hmm.
He was out thinking, you know, different things there. But I loved the fact that Lee took him down a notch
right?
with a nice punch. Oh, that was so good to see.
For
you
Kristen.
Know, I love that she's like, I'm not going to be intimidated. You know who my fiance is and who his dad mm-hmm. is. You know, I'm not scared. And she just punches him. And I love, you know, love that kind of took him back a notch. But, you know, he's still not even going to let that deter him. He's still going to go question Fox. And they were having that kind of back and forth with each other, you know, about poisonings. Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do have to say, I said that nothing puts him off his game. That's not entirely true. He was a little nutty when Kristen was going out with someone else. So there was that. He's better now.
Yeah, well, he wasn't fully formed at that point.
Right.
All those things worked together to form the Riddler, and he's still not quite there, but he's more on the path
he's
now.
He's stable.
And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we can say he's as stable as he's going to get right now, at least.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be at least several other run-ins with other villains, and including a falling out with the Penguin at some point. And mm-hmm. those things are going to contribute to him becoming the actual Riddler with almost no alter ego.
Right.
And so that's going to be more of his backstory later on. Mm-hmm. Because, as we know, Enigma almost no longer exists in the future. It's all the Riddler, and Oswald Cobblepot is all Penguin in the future.
Right. I love the fact that even, you know, in the comics, if the Riddler is playing somebody else, it's just a smokescreen. So right. Ed, you know, becomes just a smokescreen to further the Riddler's ambitions right. and schemes. So he's going to put on those faces and play act mm-hmm. In order to get what he wants. So, right. yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne is really the only alter ego in Batman comics, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, Selina, because it seems like the only people that do have alter egos are people that are good. And Selina is, she walks that line. Like, she can help Bruce sometimes and then sometimes not. So I think that's why she gets an alter ego, because she is sometimes good. So
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And that's
yeah.
the reason they get that public face. If they're a bad guy, they don't get a public face. And that's I think that's very telling.
Yeah, there's no need to be that upstanding citizen.
Right.
And so they're going to, you know, embrace who they are and roll with it. Whereas our good guys, they've got people to protect, family, friends. Mm-hmm. They've got to have a means to afford to be able to do what they do, and so they have to have that mm-hmm. as a requirement. Whereas, you know, the villains, they're going to do whatever it takes to get what they need, and who cares about the consequences? Right. So,
and that's not true in all cases, but I think in most
yeah,
cases.
it's for the most part. But yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Batman writers knew what they were doing. They even psychologically planted some of that stuff in our heads.
Yeah. So
he's a villain. He doesn't have an alter ego, you know. Okay, so let's go to... really, that was the main story. We had a few little mm-hmm. side stories. Barnes, from last week, we saw that he was hit in the eye with a drop of Alice Touch's blood.
Right.
And he learned a few things in this episode.
Right. We see that he was looking over the crime scene photos. He's very curious about, you know, the effects of her blood. So Lee has the lab run it. And so he goes and gets the report. And, you know, they've been testing it on these mice, and this one has, you know, chewed through like, 12 cages mm-hmm. to get to the others and killed them all off.
Right.
You know, they had, you know, strength and that kind of things. And so, you know, up until the chewing through the 12 cages to attack, you know, talking about the strength and the, you know, that kind of stuff, he was, it's like, okay, you know, I can deal with that. And then
right.
he's like, oh. But then we see, you know, they've set it up well over the first couple episodes that, you know, he's having issues. He's using this crutch, but he still has pain. He's getting trouble getting around. And so they kind of set it up that, okay, he's got to take action. And he's going running to the phone, and he realizes that, you know, he wasn't using his crutch, and he's feeling good. And mm-hmm. He's like, yes.
And he looks pretty self-satisfied,
oh, no.
right?
Yeah. Mm, mm.
Yeah, he has a look on his face like he's very happy about that.
Right, right. And it's going to be a challenge to see his character remain. You know, they talked about that sometime this stuff lies dormant. You know, it can come back. So are we going to see... you know, are we going to see it go away for a little bit because it was the stress reaction that caused him to do that? And then, it, you know, once that kind of the adrenaline drops down, then he's going to be back to where he was, and he's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they play this, whether mm-hmm. it's going to be something that immediately takes effect, or if it's going to be a back and forth, or, you know, how they're going to do it. So I'm excited to kind of see what they're going to do there.
Agreed. And how else it affect him, because he didn't really look like, oh, wow, this really helped me. Wow. He looked like, wow, yeah, I kind of mm-hmm. like this. Yeah. You know, he looked like he was pumped and almost menacing in a way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was a scary scene almost.
Yeah, and we talked beforehand that, this kind of reminds us of iZombie.
Right.
And if you're not watching that, you need to go watch it on Netflix before it comes back this spring, because it's excellent. But yeah, we see in that show that the thing that causes the zombies has, you know, the effects on people, and some people deal with that better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some think, some are ready to get rid of it, and some of them, savor what it gives them. And so, I just kind of see this as, okay, he's savoring what it gives him, because he not only is he feeling better than he was even before what happened last season, but, what is he going to use this strength and the sharpness and whatever it's getting to do? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects it and how he plays it out.
Right. Yeah. One of the things in iZombie is that you eat the brains of someone else and you see through their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So Liv, who is an ME, uses that to solve murders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to channel it. But mm-hmm. other people don't. Other people use it for their own gain and that sort of thing. So the simile, I guess, I'm making here is that is Barnes going to channel that in a way that his strength is used for good? Is he going to take mm-hmm. down bad guys, or is he going to use that? Is he going to hide it like that rat did, or whatever? Is he going to use that on the sly? Is he going to relish in that strength, or is he actually going to, we discussed his character. What was it last week? Was he going to become overzealous?
Right. Exactly. We talked about that last
week.
Yeah. Is he going to this push him to the legal side, the extreme side, the Azrael side,
right.
of things, where, he's keeping the law with vengeance,
right.
and going to that side of things.
And it may not always be the law, because he is reacting immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a very bad way to channel this. How he mm-hmm. sees the bad happening without regard to investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So is it going to be that, or is he going to actually be channeling that in a productive way?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. That's definitely something to watch for coming up. And that's so intriguing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael Chiklis, for one thing, is great in that role.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm
definitely.
Not just saying that because he reblogged one of my pictures on Facebook. I am saying that because I think he has been really embodying that role, like he does every role. When he was in The Shield, he was fantastic in that. The Commish, The Thing, even in the Fantastic Four, he grabs on to the role, and he's like a dog with a bone. He won't let it go. And as little screen time as he's gotten, the character of Barnes. You just know him bone deep because of how he plays this role. And so to see him get more time and a much grittier thing to do with Barnes, I cannot wait to see where it goes.
Right. And I think we talked about this the last two seasons, that the beauty of this series is when the writers take people like him and the other actors that we have in this series, and they say, okay, here's the character. Run with that character. We're going to write to your strengths. We're going to challenge you. We're going to make it fun for you to inhabit that role and grow in it and make it yours. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see the spin that he puts on things, mm-hmm. because he is such a good actor. Yeah,
I agree.
Most definitely.
And you can tell he loves it. I mean,
oh yeah,
the way he plays it, he's, you know, he's always yelling at Harvey, which is fantastic. He's pretending like he doesn't like James, even though he does admire him and he wants him to come back. So I really like it. And the way he talked to Lee.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to bring that up, the way that he was congratulating her.
Right.
For punching Ed. Mm. You know, you could tell how much he was holding back, right. in that scene when Ed came in.
Yeah.
And to be, you know, he knows his political place. He, mm-hmm. knows how things works. But he knows that she can have that. And he's like, oh, kind of living vicariously because, right. she got to do that. So that was just cool to see.
Right. Yeah, I'm all right with it. You know, yeah. it's kind of what he was saying to her.
Yeah, yeah. Most definitely.
Good job.
Yeah.
Plus, I think that was a little bit of the blood coming out in him,
oh, sure,
as well,
sure.
but still very nice. Mm. Okay, so we have Lonely Hearts Club next. And this is both sides of the coin here, with James kind of getting in a little deeper with Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Although Valerie's being rather cagey.
Jim is struggling, and he's trying to figure out what does he really want. And I think he's had these standards, he's had these ideals, and he's adapting to who he is now. He, you know, and so he's kind of projecting that on Valerie, and that, but she, you know, is being herself and kind of is seeing who he is and kind of maybe knows that he is in transition too. So, you know, she's not letting herself in too quickly either. So,
right.
He's going to have to make some sacrifices in order to get in on her good graces. But like I said, I like the dynamic of, you know, the kind of the back and forth that we saw between the two of them this episode, of him wanting the lines and I really like that he is questioning, okay, why am I with her? What do I want out of this relationship? And she's still very wary because, you know, that's who she is. She's going to be on top of things and want to be in control. And, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to lose her in,
right.
what the resources that he has, but, you know, yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those ongoing things that we're going to see that relationship evolve. And so he's in the midst of questioning things. So that gives him better perspective to see that in others. I think when we're going through an issue and we're struggling with something, it is easy for us to look at other people and see things that they're going through easier and maybe, you know, give them that advice or give that, see that issue in their life easier because we are, you know, going through it ourselves. And so he's easily able to look, you know, after the, you know, the time that he's spent around both Selena and Bruce to see how Bruce feels.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bruce does not yet have – Bruce is still Bruce.
Right.
Bruce Wayne is not the mask for Batman
yet.
And so Jim knows and can see how he feels for Selena, and he's asking, you know, he's seeing beyond this motivation that, you know, Bruce is saying, you know, I'm doing it for my friend, I'm doing it for her. It's not like that, but you know, Jim just sees right through that.
Sure.
And so I loved, you know, love that. And I loved the diner scene between the two of them where, you know, Bruce is, you know, getting on his detective skills. He knows that Jim's not with Lee. He's seen lipstick on the coffee mug there. He's right. Being that detective. And they're kind of trading love advice back mm-hmm. and forth between each other. And what I love is they're both at a spot where they're listening to each other and they're going to apply it. So mm-hmm. that was really cool to see that it's more of a older brother maybe dynamic.
Sure.
Than, you know, they're both going through things. They can share things with each other. So it's a little less of the father son, but like an older brother, you know, and they're sharing advice. So mm-hmm. I really, really like that diner scene.
Becoming more equal than before.
Right, right.
Because mm-hmm. he's been through a little bit more now, Bruce.
Yeah, most definitely.
But I do have to say, man, I would like to see him smile a little bit. mm-hmm. He's so serious. Just Bruce is so serious. I loved the little scene that he had with Selena, though, at the party.
Mm-hmm.
What a great scene. And he takes her out on the balcony, and he doesn't even think what he's going to say first. He takes her out on the balcony. He says, I hired James Gordon to look for Ivy, and they found a girl they found a guy who had seen a girl who had robbed him, and she had her sweater. And now that I have you out here, I realize that's not a lot of information. Or something to that effect. It was very close. And she says, yeah. Like that. She's just so not impressed. And she's about to go back in, and he decides he's going to take James's advice
mm-hmm.
and come clean with her and say that he likes her. And she is skeptical, which she has every right to be skeptical, because he just has not had any relationships. He's lying because he did date that girl last season. Did he not date, what's
Silver?
His name? Yeah, Silver. Didn't he date her, kind of?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, they were going on dates and things like that. You know, there were ulterior motives on her half.
Right,
but
they were kind of dates.
Yeah.
At least on his part, they were. So, you know, it's not like he's completely unknowledgeable about that sort of thing. And I'm not saying they smooched a lot or anything, but mm-hmm. I think they were dates. And I love how she says, have you ever thought you feel something for me just because I'm the only girl that you know? And, you know, that might be a little true, but I do think he recognizes they have a connection.
Right. I think that's one. She's got those street smarts, and she's got to be smart. And you're dealing with two people who have to deal with situations at a much younger age than so many people, and so they're having to act and be old, but yet they're teens.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through these hormones, and they've got things going on, and that's a defense mechanism. I just saw that as, you know, she's got to protect herself.
Sure.
And she tries to get the upper hand, and once she has the upper hand and she satisfies that she has the upper hand, then she's going to allow, you know, the kiss. She's going to allow that to come in. But
right.
She's got to have some type of defense mechanism because she doesn't want to get hurt. And,
right.
Yeah.
And don't tell me what to do, and then smooch-a-rooney.
Yeah.
And it has to be this tug of war between the two of them. And again, they are writing classic Catwoman Batman scenes between the two of them
mm-hmm.
where it is literally just insta-hate love between the two of them. And I love that. That is their classic relationship. It has been written other ways as well, but mm-hmm. I love that their relationship is so complicated. I love that they do have this relationship where there is a connection between the two of them, and that makes it even worse when she is the bad guy and he mm-hmm. has to do something about it. So the fact that they are bringing this up when they're young is right. fantastic. It's setting that scene of them having that connection. And mm-hmm. I really, really like that. And we get to see that behind the scenes sort of thing, where it's not just them as adults running into each other in their costumes and, you know, insta connection. No, this is them growing up, learning about each other early on and having that connection as teenagers. Mm-hmm. So then we understand when they're in their disguises why they have that connection.
Yeah. And the writers are doing it in a very smart way, and a way that feels realistic, as much as sometimes I just want to yell at the TV because I want to see the two of them together.
I know, right?
But I know that would be trite and it would not mm-hmm. be real to the characters. And that's the thing, the grittiness and the realness of this series, that they're not afraid to show characters with flaws, and that relationships and being heroes, it's not easy. And so that's what I appreciate, that right. they're not shipping right. these people immediately, but they're making realistic paths so that the series feels real.
Mm-hmm. And they're yeah. not trying to placate us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of us want to see them together because they're adorable together. Mm-hmm. The actors are incredibly gorgeous, but they're not writing it that way for us. They're writing it in a realistic way to the mythology behind the series. And that's what we really want them to do. If they put them together, I would be like, oh, I don't want that, really. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, in one way, it would be awesome to see them together because of the actors and how they would act those parts. But I would also be disappointed because that's not Selena and Bruce.
Right, exactly.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I get it. I love that they do that. I love that the authors and the showrunners and the directors and all of those people, they make their fist. They take a stand. We all hated Fish, but they said, you know what? Screw you guys. We're going to bring her back. And they know we don't like Fish. And they said, guess what? We're going to write her so you do. And, yeah, you know, I don't really like her. I really don't. But you know what? She hasn't ruined it.
Yeah.
When they brought her yeah. back, she has not ruined it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. I trust you guys. I'm okay with it.
They've earned it.
They have. They really have. And the casting decisions they have made in the last 2 years have just been flawless. I have no complaints whatsoever from them. None.
No. No.
Just none. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a single casting decision they've made that I have been upset about in the last two years. So, so T for two. Shall we move on to Jervis?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think this is the first Alice he's cast?
I don't think so, but... We don't know exactly how much time has passed. You know, we don't get, you know, the title card saying, you know, 1 week later mm-hmm. or, you know, things like that. We know he has a new lair. We kind of see some neon out the window. So he's, you know, somewhere in a building up high, and he's got some neon on that building and that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. he set up another tea party. But what is he going for? I mean, really, is he continually killing Alice's so that he can take more vengeance out on his enemies. I mean, I have no clue. I mean, he's Mad Hatter, so he's mad.
He's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know his reasoning of why, you know, he's doing this. Why is he trying to cast the perfect Alice to be that, you know, perfection that he can never have and he couldn't have in the real Alice? But we just don't know. What's the motivation? Why is he doing that? And I mean, that leads into next episode. But, you know, it's, you know, that's one of the things that I enjoy, too, is discovering that motivation, seeing why they're doing what they're doing and not being able to immediately peg, oh, he's doing this because of this, to see what his end game is. That's what I appreciate, is being having smart writing so that I'm not saying, okay, I can see, okay, this leads to this and this and this, and I can see how it's all going to play out, and then it's no fun for me. I like the intrigue. I like the mystery. And so when you can have storylines that keep me guessing, you know, I love it. And his is one of those that I had no clue for his motivations or the plans. And so,
right. He is just creep-tastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And I have a feeling he is just writing place cards one by one, gathering Alice's one by one. And he is not ready yet to go after all the people that have wronged him.
Not yet. Not yet.
No. Mm-hmm. And at the top of his list definitely is James Gordon. So, yeah, that's going to be a reckoning.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And James has broken through the spell, but how much of that residue is still there?
Right, and we talked about this last week. Barbara still has programming there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what that is, and we don't know how many other people that he's, you know, put under his programming that we haven't seen because it's been, you know, off screen.
Right.
So is he building, you know, an army of people to be able to be used when he needs it?
Right.
What's going to go on there? So I still see somehow that, you know, he's going to, you know, pull Barbara in and maybe others to throw up a living, you know, wall so that they can't, you know, the good guys can't get through easily. So, yeah.
Is there a second story above Sirens?
I'm not sure.
Because there's neon on the front of Sirens.
Yeah, well, we know there's a roof because that's, you know, we've seen that two episodes ago when Jim was about to, you know, jump off. And then in this episode with Bruce and Selena. So we know there's a roof.
Right.
I don't know if there's...
How far it is.
Yeah, that's the second story there.
See, I could see Barbara allowing him to hide out there if they have some sort of an upper room up there.
Good question.
Who
Good
knows? Question. That would be kind of a twist, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If he was taking patrons from Sirens and and using them as Alice's.
Yeah.
And also maybe making his army.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, creepy. Creepy. We have our feedback. Yay! Meanwhile, we have a feedback from Phoenix, who writes, overall, I give this episode 7 out of 10 Frozen Man popsicles. And he gives the plots of Butch versus Nygma, Ivy Mystery, Blood on Barnes, Death of Alice. Oswald pledges to make Gotham safe, but his first act as mayor is to put a statue of his mother outside City Hall. Really? Well, of course, he's got a fixation with his mother, big time. But his dedication ceremony is interrupted by the return of the Red Hood gang. Haven't criminals realized yet that it's the Red balaclava of death. Butch present at the attack, but I have a nasty feeling that his presence, like communism, is merely a red herring. I see what you did there.
Bringing in Clue.
Yeah. Penguin takes the vandalism hard, though, which is what the Hood likely wants. His war council, Gotham's finest criminals, that is, including Barbara Bat S. Crazy Gordon. Gordon and Vale still a thing. Pushes him for info about Mad Hatter and Alice, but Gordon doesn't seem to like mixing work and play. Nygma rubs his new position into the GCPD's face and threatens Barnes's job if he doesn't comply. Barbara catches on fast that Butch is behind the Hoods thanks to a frozen treat provided by Tabitha. We find out that Butch is simply vying for attention and makes a deal with the Devil's sister to allow him to go through with his ruse. But Nygma and Penguin preempt Butch's plan and move his timetable forward to a bloody end as his partners in crime arrive. Penguin buys the ruse hook, line, and sinker, but surprisingly, Nygma puts his analytic mind to work and discovers Butch's secret. Not surprising to me, but hey. Barnes comes to the lab to find out details about Alice's blood, but doesn't get encouraging news, super strength, or psychotic rage. Where does your future lie, Captain? Gotham's elite attend Penguin's mayoral party to the tune of a hipster band in Babs and Tabs Bar, where Selina meets adult Ivy, who she doesn't even recognize. Selina calls her out to Bruce, but he doesn't recognize her either. Nygma flips the script on Butch and Penguin, which will not likely go well for Butch. I foresee this being a double cross on Butch. And Zaz is back! Oh, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, it was great to see him back tonight. Mm-hmm. Excited to see where this goes. Zaz puts Butch up to killing Penguin, and surprise, surprise, it's a trap. But Butch survives and almost chokes out Nygma. He's rescued by Penguin, though, who later shares an almost homoerotic best bros moment in which our Penguin bonds with Nygma as his new mommy figure. Yeah, all right. I just think they're best buds. They're each other's one. That's what I say. Okay, back to the feedback. Butch gets carted off, but is rescued by his infatuation, Tabitha. I guess some love never dies. Yeah. The love of a sister, however, does, and that is one love Hatter won't let go. Seems like Gordon has another party invitation waiting for him. Meanwhile, Bruce confesses his infatuation for Selina and goes for it. He passes Selina's defensive questioning and scores a kiss. I'm sure this is going to be relationship forever and well, perhaps not. Stay tuned next week to find out what happens. Same Gotham time, same Gotham channel. Thanks, Phoenix.
Thanks.
And we have an audio from Martin, a.k.a. The Flash.
Hey there, you two. This is Martin The Flash. Just finished this week's episode and thought I'd call in real quick. Not as powerful and dramatic as the last episode, but overall still pretty good. What I really liked what they did with this one, it was a little bit messy in the first half, and then it kind of started tying it all together. Having the whole Butch betraying him scene, it's unfortunate because I kind of like Butch just as the right-hand muscle man. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. What I liked most about this episode was that showing us the beginnings of the Bruce and Selina kind of tormented relationship that they have. So it was kind of neat, Martin, to see that starting, where she just continually pulls strings to keep him on the edge and keep him on his toes, and he never quite knows what's going on with her. So that was pretty cool, and I also liked seeing the beginnings as well of Bruce and Commissioner Gordon, the relationship that we know them to have. It was cool to see them kind of building a little bit of that foundation, that trust with each other, so that was kind of cool. Now, I have to shake my finger at the writers and the director, that you naughty guys, for making us believe for a moment that we might have had a little bit of Penguin Riddler, love scene about to begin.
No.
Boy, the way they framed it, the way they camera angles, the way they made it look, I would like to see anybody deny that that's not the first thing they were thinking is, oh my God, are we about to see a kiss between those two? So that was well done. Had me wondering, and I thought, there's no way they're going to go way off the deep end with these characters that are so iconic. So that was pretty funny. Flash is out.
They're each other's one, Flash.
Nice. But great minds think alike. I had not listened to that feedback beforehand. So
no, me either.
So we, you know, we're thinking alike, seeing it there. Where so awesome. Thank you so much, Flash. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so you want to read Chris's feedback?
Yeah. So Chris gave us his play-by-play feedback. He says, "Good evening, Karen and Jeff. Good
hey,
evening."
Chris.
A ribbon-cutting ceremony for a school bus tickled me to death for some reason.
You know what it reminded me of? I have to cut in here. Sister Act.
Uh-huh.
I got this flash of Sister Act in my head. All right. Go back to Chris's feedback.
Nice. He says, it's always good to see Victor Zsasz. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it would be great to see more of a storyline for him. But yeah, definitely good to see Zsasz. The Red Hood gang did Gotham a favor by destroying that statue. That thing was creepy.
Agreed. It was.
Yeah. Ed enjoying holding this over the GCPD's collective head is a bit too much.
Right.
Pride goeth before the fall, Mr. Enigma. Yeah, that was a nice line from Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
I love Barbara's little laugh when Oswald ran the guy's face into the statue. it's going to be fabulous. None of you are invited. Stabby Babs.
Yeah.
I like Jim's reaction to Bruce's rather unconvincing claim that Selina is, quotes, just a friend.
Yep. Sure she is.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he goes, the next quote, you're insane. Was insane. I have a certificate.
Yeah, that seems to be their catchphrase, doesn't it? Yeah. I have a certificate.
I think Lee was disappointed that Jim didn't appear jealous about the engagement. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. Yeah, we didn't really address that, but Jim knew who the guy was, knew the family background, and yet he's saying, you know, look, I just want y'all to be happy. I said, yep. Congratulations. So
he was cool as a cucumber, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good play, no matter how he meant it.
Right.
It really threw Lee off. So
yeah. But I do like the fact that she did bring that to his attention.
Sure.
You know, so that, you know, there's that she still wants that transparency between them to, you know, so that, you know, he doesn't feel like that she's keeping anything there because of, you know, what they've been through. So I like that. So
yeah me too.
To the feedback here. Nice right hook, Lee.
Agreed.
It's wow. Ivy's turned into kind of a jerk. Yeah. She has. Yeah, she's definitely.
Did we expect anything less from Poison Ivy?
Well, I mean, she's a, you know, a teenager in a 20-year-old's body. You know, it's like, you know, 12, 13-year-old in a 20-whatever body.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to milk
gonna
it
milk
for everything
it. That's right.
Worth.
Good for her, I have to say, right? Especially since she's a villain. I mean, that's
right, yeah.
That's what a villain's going to do.
Mm-hmm. He says, I've seen the episode a few times now, and I still can't tell if Ed really did plan to kill Oswald originally or if he planned to double-cross Butch all along.
Oh.
And, yeah, I kind of think he just, you know, was trying to get at Butch. So
I think so, too. I think he and Oswald really are friends right now.
Yeah.
Again, I have to add that right now because that is never going to be a solid 100% all the time forever relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But at least right now, I think they're solid.
Yeah.
So I do think he was making sure that his place in Oswald's life was going to be cemented by taking down Butch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that's my take.
So Chris says, good episode. I give it 7 out of 10 school bus ribbon cutting ceremonies.
Nice.
Chris.
So, yeah, nice. With Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. So if you would like to leave us feedback, you can do that in multiple ways. You can call 304-837-2278. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. There you can type out a message. You can attach an audio file. You can use the SpeakPipe widget to record a message. You can respond to us on Twitter at GothamGSM. Check the Facebook group. And you can subscribe by going to iTunes. And the easiest way to do things that way is go to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes. And our feedback deadline is Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Yeah. So we hope we hear from you. Definitely.
Most definitely.
That would be very cool.
It's great to have our inboxes, you know, I flag when we get feedback, you know, we get a notification. So it's fun to look in my inbox and see flags sitting there with multiple people giving their feedback.
Yeah. You should see mine. I see GSM, GSM. I have to open them to see which one it's for.
Yeah. You have three now.
That's so right.
Like, okay.
Exactly. And then I have to go through and file them and mm-hmm. leave them all unread. Yeah, it's great. I love to hear from you guys. And we love our Facebook pages. You guys are great there, too.
Yeah, it was fun. You got to go check out the It's a Trap GIF.
Right? That's, it. That's so great. I love it. Yeah, and I've also put... they already had the pictures up for next week's episode, which I'll read the summary of mm-hmm. in just a second. It's called Follow the White Rabbit, so... yeah, there's that. So it is coming up. There's a few really humorous photos
mm-hmm.
in that list. So they're up on our Facebook page, and you might want to go look at that. The summary is as follows, by the way. Meanwhile, there's spoilers, but, you know, it's the summary, so you can read it anywhere. Mad Hatter sets his eyes on his next victims, forcing Jim Gordon to make some tough decisions. Meanwhile, Penguin and Nigma's relationship evolves, and a familiar face comes back into Nigma's life on an all-new Mad City Follow the White Rabbit episode of Gotham, airing Monday, October 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox.
That's right.
So... yeah, Follow the White Rabbit. And there is someone cast as the White Rabbit.
Wow, cool.
So we're going to find out what that dealio is, aren't we?
Definitely.
There is a picture where Ed is looking at a bunch of bottles of wine, and there is a window that has the aforementioned, but not the exact same, neon in back of him, and it's a heart, and his face is in the middle of the heart, so it looks like the heart is being drawn around his face.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It is a great picture. I would like it if you use that as our blog post picture next week.
I can do that.
Okay, great. It's a fantastic picture, and he looks so angry.
mm-hmm.
So it's very funny picture, I think. So, yeah, if you guys want to go and see those, they're up on our Facebook page. And I try to put those up as soon as I find them. Sometimes they sneak them past me. I check all the time, and then the next time I look, they're up, and I have missed them. So, and Jeff's always on me. But Jeff can get them now.
Yes, I can.
So, yay. So both of us can get those for you. Nice. But I think that's it for tonight, yeah?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we will be back next week to talk about Follow the White Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait. There's going to be a tea party. And everybody's invited?
That's right.
If you want to go.
Whether you want to be there or not.
Right. We're inviting you to our tea party. And ours has no poison, nothing detrimental to you.
No, exactly.
We just have tea, coffee, muffins, whatever you'd mm-hmm. like. So whoever comes there last, they get to go out and get the coffee, though. So you better show up on time. All right. So we'll see you then. Night,
see you
everyone.
Then.